Arctic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. You know, I have been saying that we're going to talk about leprechauns and some of that legendary Irish stuff. We just stepped outside during the break. The wind is whistling. Reminds me of these stories about the Banshee. Think of how creepy that would have been hundreds of years ago if you believed in the Banshee. And you're outside your little village there on a cold, black night, and you start hearing this wailing and crying off in the distance, floating on the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, but you know it means someone is going to die soon, someone close to you. It's funny to me how the Irish culture, really all the cultures around the UK, have always been very open to ghosts and legends and spooky things. Some cultures not quite as open. Like, you know, I've talked about in Puerto Rico, they don't like to talk about ghosts as much out of the fear, perhaps, that you may attract these things. And, you know, the idea of the leprechaun, it goes back to the Middle Ages. And they have been interpreted as many different types of things under many different circumstances. We're going to dig into some of those, but, you know, some people to this day I've met, they find the leprechaun creepy. They think he's a scary figure.
It kind of reminds me of that movie, The Leprechaun. You remember with that little guy?
Yeah.
He goes, "I'm the leprechaun.
I'm the leprechaun.
Cool it, okay.
I'm the leprechaun.
Stop it, all right?
Don't try and steal me, pot of gold.
Stop it.
Pixie dust. Sweetie, it's me. It's me.
Yeah. The leprechaun.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of the leprechaun, Shelley? The leprechaun!
No.
What? Tell me about the Irish connection that you have, being named Wright. You have no idea?
I have no idea.
You've never genealogically looked back to see? You just assume that you have Irish in you.
Yeah, because you can kind of see the whole resemblance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how tall are you, Shelley?
5'4".
Okay, so you're 5'4". So, you know, you're not super short, but, you know, you're probably... how tall is the average woman in this country?
5'6", 5'7".
So you're a below average height.
Right.
You apparently have an Irish background. You have long red hair, and you love gold.
Yes.
Hmm. You ever thought about yourself that way before?
No, I didn't think about myself that way.
Well, let's go down a little list of things here associated with leprechauns before I break into the historic connection there. Okay, trivia question. We normally picture leprechauns as wearing green, right? But what color did they often wear according to Gaelic tradition? Do you think it was green or another color? What do you think, Forrest Connor?
I would say red.
Hmm?
I'd say red.
You say red? Shelley, how do you feel about that?
Black.
Kelly, what do you think?
Maybe like a dark blue.
It is red. It says the color shift seems to have happened around the turn of the 20th century due to a growing association with Irish people and the color green, and I'll get to that in a minute. But older works of poetry and stories usually depict the leprechaun as wearing a red waistcoat. Some believe that solitary leprechauns wear red coats, while leprechauns who live in colonies wear green. And in fact, I was reading up here on St. Patrick's Day, and apparently the story is that St. Patrick liked shamrocks because the three leaves represented the Holy Trinity. And so people would wear the shamrock, and that is how little by little the color green became more associated with some of the traditional Irish folklore. And I, for years, have been really good friends with a guy who is extremely proud of his Irish descent. He hates St. Patrick's Day because he said that, hey, it was the Catholics who came in and killed all the earliest pagans there to try to convert them. So he's obviously not Catholic. So he doesn't like this. So I think it's odd how that there are all these little controversies. You know, in fact, I've been told that in certain places, like this, if you're in Ireland, for example, and I've never been to Ireland, but if you go into certain places in Ireland, let's say you go to a bar, and you say, oh, I'd like to get an Irish car bomb, they don't like that. They will kick you right out of the bar. Because I don't know what they call it there, but they don't call it an Irish car bomb.
I can see why they might be a bit offended.
They're living with the real deal, and you might not even want to utter that around Ireland. Something else that's interesting about Irish bars. Okay, Shelley, do you remember when we were in Romania? We went to a lot of restaurant bar type places,
yes.
But you would almost never walk into a restaurant and find just a bar with people sitting there drinking, right?
Yeah, you didn't see that.
And that's common here in the U.S. I mean, every bar, that's what we think of as a bar. It's a place you go into, and there's literally a bar, and people sit there and drink and converse, and they don't necessarily eat food. But, no, in Romania, you got to go, and you sit down at a table, and if all you want to do is drink, that's fine, but you tell your server, and then they go off, and they bring your drink back. So I started asking some of our friends there in Romania, why is it that you guys don't have just a bar that you can go sit at and drink? And they say, well, there are some Irish places you can go into that are set up that way, but that's not common here. And I didn't realize that's a very Irish concept that we have adopted in the U.S. It's even more common here than I think it even is in England and other places in the U.K. So when we think of a bar, we're really thinking of an Irish bar, the way they set them up, where you go in, you sit down, and you have your drink there, you chat, and maybe you got some bar food, which is more like appetizer-oriented stuff. You're not sitting down to have a big four-course meal. So anyway, okay, next thing. How about this? Shelley, what do leprechauns do for a living? What do you think? You just look like a deer in headlights with this whole conversation. You don't know anything about leprechauns?
Kelly does.
Kelly, what do you think they do for a living?
I think they're miners, aren't they?
That's a good guess, because they like precious metals. What do you think, Farce?
That would have been my guess, too. Mining.
They are traditionally cobblers. They are shoemakers. For the fairy folk, they're often depicted with a leather apron holding a shoe, because they like to make little shoes for people. Okay, how about this one, Shelley? If a leprechaun is leaping in the air, what is he likely doing? What do you think a leprechaun, a little Irish man, might be doing if he's jumping up in the air?
I have no idea.
No clue? Wow. Should I even ask her questions anymore?
I don't do trivia.
What do you think,
remember?
Kelly? What do you think it is?
I would say he's upset because somebody stole his gold.
Another good guess. What do you think, Forrest?
Other than trying to be taller than what he is normally, I have no idea.
He's dancing a jig. A jig is a traditional Irish dance, and according to legend, leprechauns are cobblers because they do so much dancing, and they're constantly wearing out their shoes. See, where are you? You're going to know so much more about leprechauns at the end of this hour than you've ever imagined could be known about them. Okay, now this is very interesting. Now this is one that you really should know. Shelley, I know that you're not going to know this, but I'm doing you a service by telling you this because I can see some kind of marketing connection here for you.
Thanks.
Okay, how much gold is in a leprechaun's stash at the end of the rainbow?
A whole pot full.
Well, there is a more specific way of telling how much gold that particular leprechaun may have. Guys, you want to take a stab at this one?
A stone's worth.
Kelly?
It has something to do with the rainbow, how bright the rainbow is? Or...
No, those are Skittles.
Taste the rainbow.
Traditionally, a leprechaun has one gold coin for every year of his life. And they say that the queen fairies give a leprechaun a gold coin on his birthday every year. So by that logic, if you're really lucky, you're going to catch an old leprechaun. And I'm talking, you know, some of these can be hundreds of years old, maybe thousands of years old.
How big are these coins?
Well,
because that is important.
I don't know. That actually is kind of a good point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Do leprechauns have little miniature coins? Or do they carry big old coins around, human-sized coins?
Size matters.
Yeah.
Yes. I'd say at least an ounce.
I would say so.
Hmm. Well, maybe somebody will find out. What the heck was that? Oh, okay. So let's see here. Okay, next. Okay. Let's say, Shelley, another thing you should know, because you're in the gold business. If you are, well, before I bring this up, Shelley, do you think that you have ever been at the end of the rainbow in your whole life? You ever found the end of the rainbow?
I saw both ends of the rainbow a couple of weeks ago,
okay.
But I've never been.
Oh, it didn't land on your head. The end of the rainbow.
It was across the street, but it was,
so it was
surely.
It was close by. I actually, I think it might have been last spring, I was driving down the road, and I could have sworn that the rainbow was just right over my car for a second. So, if you have this experience, and let's say you're at the end of the rainbow, you look over, and holy cow, there's a leprechaun there. He's got a pot of gold. What do you have to do to get that gold from him, Shelley?
Don't you have to catch him?
Nope. Not really. I mean, see, this is why you should know this, because there are people who claim that this can happen, and you are going to just totally, you're going to be so disappointed if you let a leprechaun get away when he's got that pot of gold there. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you how you can capture that leprechaun and that gold. And once we go down this list of things, well, then also I'm going to tell you a little bit more. I don't know. I've got all kinds of information here about the history of leprechauns. I don't know how far we're going to go, but I've got some stuff that is, I think, kind of creepy to tell you about. It's one of our St. Paddy's Day editions of the program. The show is called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. And I'll tell you more about the little folk right after this.
One, two, three.
Short people got no
too low. You got the baby legs, stand so low. You got to pick them up, just say hello. You got little cars that go beep, beep, beep. You got little voices going beep, beep, beep. You got rubber little fingers, dirty little mind. You're gonna get you every time.
Joshua P. Warren, talking about leprechauns. They say the traditional leprechaun is usually no taller than a small child. Usually people see a little guy with a beard and a hat. And in fact, as far as appearance, it was written in 1831, the leprechaun is, quote, quite a beau in his dress, notwithstanding, for he wears a red square-cut coat, richly laced with gold, and inexpressible of the same, cocked hat, shoes, and buckles. The earliest known reference to the leprechaun is in the medieval tale known as the Ectra Fergus Mac Lete, which in English is The Adventure of Fergus, Son of Lete. And this text is about a king of Ulster who falls asleep on the beach and wakes to find himself being dragged into the sea by three leprechauns. He captures the abductors, who grant him three wishes in exchange for release. Now, that was written in the Middle Ages. And if you want to know where the word comes from, they say it probably comes from the Irish word leprechaun, which designates a couple things, a pygmy or a sprite. But they say that if you look at the etymology from some of the Latin in the ecclesiastical Latin on Irish, they think it may come from two words, leth, which means half, and brog, which means a shoe. A brogue is a strong outdoor shoe with ornamental perforated patterns in the leather, because these little guys have frequently been portrayed as working on a single shoe. Also, there is what says here that they love mending shoes, but they also love even more playing practical jokes. And according to William Butler Yeats, most of the great wealth of these fairies comes from the treasure crocks buried in old wartime. So apparently these fairies go around looking for treasure. I mean, again, you can imagine how common that used to be for people to bury their wealth. I mean, you know, before modern banking, there wasn't a consensus on how to handle that.
You think people don't still bury it?
I'm sure they do, but not as much as they used to. There's no way. Because most people still just have bills, you know, and they believe in banks. Otherwise, banks wouldn't be in business. But what I'm thinking is, if you take a metal detector to Shelley Wright's backyard, might just find something out there. Huh, Shelley?
Don't think so.
I think you just told everybody you bury your gold back there, don't you?
Nope.
Check. Leprechaun. That's another one on the list. Well, listen, if you come into contact with a leprechaun, what you need to do, and don't forget this because this would be easy to forget, you don't take your eyes off of him until you get the gold, because he is a little master of trickery. Fairy law requires the leprechaun to be honest with you if captured, but only for as long as you look him in the eye. It does not forbid tricks, only lying, but as soon as you look away, the leprechaun can vanish, lie to you, or anything else he can dream up. So you keep your eyes locked on him right then and there. Don't let that leprechaun... Can you blink, I wonder? Surely you can blink. You can't even blink, you don't think, Kelly? Because they're that fast. Boy, that would suck. You better rough him up fast, then. So, you know, you get him, you hold him there, and you say, I'm not going to let you go until you grant my wishes. Or maybe Maybe you can get that gold. I guess it depends. All right, how about this one? Shelley, have you ever seen the movie called Leprechaun?
No.
You never seen that movie?
No.
I know you have, haven't you, Forrest?
Once or twice.
Are you a huge fan of that movie?
I've seen it once or twice.
Warwick Davis's finest. Okay, here's a little trivia question. There have been a series of horror movies featuring an evil leprechaun. The first, from 1993, starred what actress who later became famous on a TV show? I wouldn't have known this. I mean, I remember seeing Leprechaun when it came out. My favorite of the movies I recall is Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yes.
That remember was the that best one. One. That was definitely. No guess on that one?
No.
Jennifer Aniston. It was her second film role. And then 2 years later, she hit it big in Friends on TV. It's one of those funny things. Okay, here's one that Shelley can finally get. Okay, Shelley. Onto a less frightening leprechaun every American child should know, Lucky the cartoon leprechaun is the mascot for what cereal?
Lucky Charms.
That's right. That's right. Magically delicious. You mentioned Lucky Charms earlier, didn't you, Kelly? I like Lucky Charms. Now, here's one that none of us would have known. There's apparently another mythical creature that is often confused with a leprechaun. It's called the Clurichon. Anybody ever heard of that?
No.
It's spelled C-L-U-R-I-C-H-A-U-N. Clurichon. And it says that it's easy to see why the two have been confused, because Clurichon are tiny, drunken fairies who often play tricks on dishonest drunks. Think I've met a few. Says, however, they are not cobblers, do not have a pot of gold, and cannot grant wishes. Wow, well, that would just suck if you met one of those guys, huh? You get nothing out of that. They just push you off your bar stool and pee on you.
Oh, yeah, sounds like some of the kids in New York or wherever that were getting the drinks out of the vending machine.
Maybe. That was D.C., yeah. Maybe that was the... Maybe they're Clurichon up there running around. Never heard of that before. Well, let me tell you guys something. Around here, we have stories of little people, and I bring these stories up on the air once in a while. We know people who claim they've seen little people. And I won't recount those stories right now because I've talked about it numerous times. However, you know, we had Whitley Strieber on this show, gosh, has it been probably over a year ago now?
About 2 years ago.
Has it been that long ago? Yeah, maybe 2 years. Whitley Strieber is a great storyteller, and we didn't really get into this when he was on Speaking of Strange, but I heard him do an interview on Coast to Coast AM, and Whitley just has all kinds of bizarre stuff that he says happens to him. And most people just think of him, and you think of, well, he's being abducted by aliens. But Whitley Strieber says that he had a bunch of property in upstate New York, and he said that sometimes he would just go out and wander for hours on his property and walk trails. And one day he was way out in the middle of the woods, and he turned, and he said he could smell smoke, but it smelled more like cigarette smoke. He turns, and he says there's this creepy little man with long kind of blondish white hair and a blondish white beard just standing there next to a tree just smoking cigarettes. And Whitley says, at first he thought it was a kid smoking a cigarette. And it's when he got closer that he realized this is a creepy little man. And Whitley says he just turned and got out of there. Well, after that, every other morning, Whitley would wake up and walk outside, and there would be cigarette butts all over his yard outside of his bedroom window. Finally, Whitley says he and his wife were so disturbed by this, they contacted the cops and everything, and nobody could ever catch this guy. They ended up moving like 1,000 miles away. Next morning, he walks outside, there are the cigarette butts. He says this little man, this creepy little man who smokes cigarettes, chain smokes cigarettes, has been following him everywhere he's gone around the U.S. When we come back from this break, I have something that I want to tell you guys about that has a similar ring to it. And we'll see what you think. We're also going to get Mr. Mobius in here. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It is called Speaking of Strange.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
I'm convinced if I find the end of the rainbow again, Shelley Wright's going to be sitting there with a pot of gold and little green sparkly things flashing in the sky. I think that there's at least a relationship between the Wrights and Leprechauns. I know your dad's a big guy, but it's the gold connection that's too much, Shelley. That's that love of gold. You're burying gold everywhere. In fact, I think maybe we don't have to find the end of the rainbow, man. We just find out where Shelley Wright lives. We can take a metal detector. We'll find the pot of gold. You don't even have to, like, stare at her. Grant wishes and all that. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. See, I'm actually turning Shelley. At the beginning of the show, she wasn't offended by leprechaun stereotypes. She will be by the time this night's over. She's going to hate them. But I do have a story to share with you guys about something weird that happened to me last year. First off, I believe we have Mr. Mobius with us on the line. Are you there, Mobius?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Mobius, you think you've ever seen a leprechaun?
Luckily, no.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, no? I don't know. I mean, I would think that would be extremely lucky to find a leprechaun. But now, since you just tuned in, you probably don't know that if you find a leprechaun, you're not supposed to take your eyes off of him, or he'll disappear. If you keep looking at him, however, he can't leave, and he has to get himself released somehow, and that's when he starts granting you wishes and giving you gold. And I was talking about Whitley Strieber being followed for years by this creepy little cigarette-smoking man. And I just want to share something here. I don't think I've ever brought this up on the radio before, believe it or not. I guess it's because I just had so much stuff going on last fall. But last fall, I was hired by the city of Morganton, North Carolina, to put together the first ever walking tour in Morganton. Morganton is maybe about an hour east of where we are here in Asheville. And not surprisingly, this was a ghost walk that I put together right around Halloween time. So I spent quite a while, a few days or whatever, I think it might have been like almost a week, just walking around Morganton, fishing for stories, interviewing people, seeing what I could find. Well, at one point, and Morganton is a small, quaint town in many ways, At one point, I go walking down this street, maybe about 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. And I looked over, and standing in an alleyway was a little man. And by little, I mean he was probably about 3 feet tall. And he had long, dark hair, and he had a long beard. And he looked kind of young. He looked like he was maybe in his 30s. He's wearing blue jeans. And he's just leaned up against this alleyway, just smoking cigarettes. He looked kind of dirty, like maybe he'd been out camping or something for a while. So I saw him, and instantly I felt like maybe I shouldn't bother him. I should just walk on past him because I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. Like, I see him and I'm like, oh, look at you. I bet you know some weird stuff. You know, a little guy like you has got to know some stories. No, I didn't want to, you know, that would not be an appropriate reaction. So I walk past him and I take a few steps and I probably took more than a few steps. I probably walked through the alleyway. And then I thought to myself, you know, that's silly. I'm here to collect stories. This guy, let me just see what he knows. You know? So I turn around, I walk right back, he's gone. Okay. I look down both sides of the street, not a trace of him. I can't figure out where this little man could have vanished to. And then I realize something. I've always heard that these little people, they love three things. They love tobacco, they love music, and they love baked goods. And that's when I realized the little man was standing there smoking cigarettes. On one side of him was a music store that sold guitars and banjos and stuff. And on the other side was a bakery. And that's when I realized had to have been one of the little people. A leprechaun? I don't know. Maybe he was more like a... What's this other thing I was telling you about? I can't even remember what it's called now. The Chloricon. Yeah. Those are the little tiny drunk ones that they don't do anything good for you. They just demean you. So what do you think about that, Mr. Mobius? Do you think that that could have been a leprechaun or something similar?
I know you would have looked and logically tried to find where the guy was.
Mm-hmm.
You would not have been satisfied with he just vanished. And since you didn't find him... It is strange.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had to incorporate that into the tour. And I thought, well, maybe this is a little bit risky, because for all I know, this is just some little person who lives here in Morganton, and everybody knows who he is. And here I go walking around with the Chamber of Commerce, and I start telling these people who live there in the small town, oh, I saw, you know, maybe a leprechaun over here or something. And they're going to say, oh, come on, that is so crass. That's Billy. You know, Billy is my sister's brother or whatever, you know, my sister's son. I don't know. But I told this story to everybody in town. They did tours there regularly all throughout October. Nobody ever had an explanation. And you'd think if this was just a dude that everybody knew, is a little guy who lives in town, somebody would have mentioned that. So... I'm not sure. So, hey, but now, Shelly, you have a store that's selling gold all the time. You ever have a little person come into the store?
Nope.
Never once?
Nope.
Don't you think that's a little bit odd? You've been in business 40 years. You never had a little guy come walking in the door.
Don't you think leprechauns just have their own gold?
That's what I'm thinking. Must mm-hmm. be the case.
I don't think they have to go buy it.
Or maybe
they can sell it.
Well, that's right.
I would think they wouldn't have to.
Maybe your coins are just too big and heavy.
Perhaps.
You know, Mobius, let me ask you a question. See, Shelly, I can tell she's irritated because I've been asking her questions about leprechauns tonight, and even though she's supposedly Irish, she doesn't know anything about it, and so she probably feels now that I'm insulting her intelligence. But let me tell you something. Shelly Wright actually brought up one of the best questions I've ever heard. So she actually is brilliant in her own little way. I don't know if I can answer what she came up with. She said, when you find a leprechaun and he has a pot of gold, are the coins little tiny ones, or are they regular human-sized ones? Who's ever thought of that? Mobius, what do you think?
I have studied a lot of information, but I have never actually seen anybody rate the size of the gold of which you get for the loot. So that's a good question.
Like Kelly said, size matters. I mean, if you're going to get itty bitty teeny tiny gold, then why go after this guy?
It does kind of change the game a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if his gold, his pot of gold is just like the same thing as a few coins from you at Wright's Coin Shop. Do you have any gold coins with leprechauns on them there, Shelley?
No.
Any shamrocks?
No.
That doesn't make sense.
Mm.
We've got to add that to the list of things that people can get at Wright's Coin Shop, right? Okay, so Mobius, what's been happening with you, man? Anything new and exciting?
We've had nonstop weird news.
Yep. So
if you're looking at the Facebook page, I'm sure you're going to share it tonight. It has just been exceedingly strange. Like, the whole planet seems in on it. And I'm sure that you've been sharing some of the stories and, you know, jumping in the middle. I'm not quite sure what you have shared, but anybody who is not a member of the Facebook page and keeping up to date, because we certainly can't get them all on the show, they're really missing something.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, whole first hour of the program tonight, it was just nonstop, boom, 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 one story after another. We got one more segment here before it'll be Dark 30 time. Are you going to be able to stick around through Dark 30 tonight?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back in this last segment of hour number two, I would like for you to talk about the idea that you presented to me recently, because we were on the telephone having a private discussion about just how weird all the news is getting, how that it sometimes it's a little bit much for even our staff to keep up with. And then you had this fantastic idea for how we can actually engage the audience even more in the research process. So when we come back, everybody, you'll get to hear Mobius's idea, and we'll see what you think. And then, of course, after that, well, it'll be the Dark 30 hour, and we know what that is. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and Speaking of Strange will continue right after this. Strange. Coming up next, the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And I'm talking right now with Mr. Mobius, who does the bulk of our research for this show. Mobius, have you ever met a leprechaun in a public restroom?
Luckily, no. Okay. And I say luckily this time correctly.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that there's a warning out there, a public service announcement. You know, St. Paddy's is coming up. Real leprechauns apparently don't hang out in men's bathrooms.
Yes.
You understand that. Okay.
I believe that thoroughly, yes.
Okay. So now, you know, you're Forrest Connor. You have Irish heritage.
Yes, sir.
And what's, Kelly, your name's Griffin. Is that Irish?
Definitely.
Wow. Man, I'm just surrounded by all these Irish people.
My whole name is Kelly Amanda Griffin, so it's all...
all Irish.
Yep.
All right, so Mobius, let's hear your idea here on how we can make the data gathering process fun and inclusive of our audience.
Okay, we were talking, and I proposed that we start giving rewards, that we give JPW swag to our fans, because they are so fantastic. They help us so much. Sometimes they build devices. Sometimes they hand us amazing research. And so I think that we should start a program. We should start it very basic and keep building it. But I propose two things. One of those was that people, they join the Facebook page, and that they simply write a title to the story, something fun, and that we choose the best title every week, and that we give somebody something. We have so many extra things. We have software, we have gadgets, and that we simply award somebody. And the two things you have to do is write a headline that is just a great summary of the story that's fun, and share it, and that you're in the weekly draw. And the other thing I propose, we keep having people talk to us about syndication and wanting to help, and I think this deserves some, you know, reward. So I said, why don't we send anybody who brings an affiliate to us, a new station, we send them a Sunshine Simple Junior. And those were two things. I think we should expand it and keep adding things, because we have a huge fan base. They're fantastic, and they support us so much. And it just would be nice to give something back.
You know, I think that is a wonderful idea. And let me just also clarify for everybody here. If you go and you buy a Sunshine Simple Junior, that is worth... how much? I'm looking at our pricing here. It is $895. Okay, that is an $895 value for a junior generator. It's 400 watts with an 80 watt solar panel, 45 amp hour battery. We're going to send you that for free. It's not going to cost you a penny if you hook us up with a good affiliate. Okay, now I'm talking about like a terrestrial radio station. That's some pretty good motivation, I think. You want to add anything to that, Mobius?
I think you can sort of say, if you hook us up, we are going to hook you up, and we mean it.
Yeah.
Does that invitation go to program directors out there too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If you hook up the affiliate, and yeah. That's a great...
So if you're a program director at another radio station,
yep,
terrestrial radio station, give us a call. Give Mr. Mobius, shoot Mr. Mobius an email.
Yep, that's right. You let us know, and we'll put one of these... I mean, that's pretty amazing, actually. We might have to stop doing that after a while. We might go bankrupt. All right, well, cool. So it's almost time for us to end this hour of the program. When we come back, this is one of those dark 30s where there's just a huge stack of stuff to go through. It's going to be fast-paced. And also, it's one of those weeks when some of the stories are just so twisted, it's going to be hard to figure out how to properly read some of them. Mobius, do you feel like that now that it's 2013, the actual weirdness has reached a new peak level as we expected it to? Oh, do we lose Mobius?
Stranger, it does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I think well, look. When we come back, we'll dig into all that and more. And be sure now to realize if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find the link to the Facebook there. You'll find out how to contact us. There are a lot of different ways to contact us. I saw a guy post the other day. He says, it's impossible to find out how to email you, Josh. Well, no, it's right there on my website. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. And you email me at shadowboxent@yahoo.com. Shadowbox Enterprises is the name of one of my companies. shadowboxent@yahoo.com. And let me know what's on your mind. So, when we come back, we'll dig into the late night material. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.